one, I want to say it's really exciting to be on your show and talk about this. We're doing lots of things, none of it really new, except that we're trying to be faster out of the gate than we have when previous new technologies have come on the scene. In the past, we'd often wait to understand everything and what it means before moving forward. And in this case, we decided not to wait, but just kind of jump in. So we have a Twitter page at DOD.gov. We have a Facebook page. Many of our commands around the world have been here already. The best one, I think, is our European command, known by the short version, EUCOM. Their webpage and what they do with social networking is really amazing. What I want to stress with this, though, it's not, as you mentioned earlier about faxing and press releases, this new way of communicating is demonstrably different from those. This is not going from a blast fax to a blast email. Social networking and the promise that it holds is dramatically different from those. It's not just a better mousetrap, a better way of pushing out information to people, but it's an exchange of information. So much so that that exchange could actually change the substance of your policy. In other words, when you have a policy idea or a policy recommendation, if you push it out to people and they're able to engage you and come back and talk to you, you could actually change your policy. In essence, it gives people ownership of the policy for the first time.
Now, as the Pentagon, say, or the military units or the armed services do this, suppose, for example, they want to engage in a different blog site. That must be a difficult thing to balance because you want to talk in the language and in the terms and in the locations that people you want to reach talk, but you can't do too much advocacy or it'll look like you're shilling, and yet you can't pull back too much or you won't add anything to the conversation. So how do you balance the fact that it's the big giant Pentagon involved in a situation or a blog or some kind of conversation online and still maintain the right message?
Right. I think what the Pentagon is dealing with, as other departments are dealing with, is the fact is that we don't have that kind of control anymore, and we have to be okay with, in essence, with non-exact cleared guidance being used by people. An example of this is what the Army does with its recruiting. It allows people who have just been recruited or people who've been in the military a long time to talk on blogs and talk in the language and talk about their experiences like normal people do, as opposed to cleared press guidance. And we found that our soldiers, our men and women, are the best spokespeople to do this, not someone who's necessarily the Defense Department spokesperson.
And a lot of this got started, I think, early on in the Iraq, right after the invasion. There were soldiers who were blogging, and some of it was without sanction, some of it was, but it sounds like you're getting more comfortable with just letting it hang out, as it were.
I think so, and one of the things I want to mention there is that for the first time, our men and women who are deployed can stay in touch, sometimes in real time, with their family and friends. Folks can now often do homework with their children in real time, and because of the software, the social networking software that's out there, this can happen. I think those things are absolutely amazing, and I think it's helped the morale of our troops.
We're talking with Price Floyd, Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs.
Mr. Floyd, it's Beverly Kirk. I want to go back to something you mentioned when you were talking about the social interaction and how people can talk back and that can influence what you do. Talk about the importance of this interaction.
I think it's when I met with the Secretary of Defense when I first took the job, he wanted to hear back from people. He didn't feel that he was getting a sense of what their concerns were. And so where he can't just give out his email address and just hear from people because the number of people are just too large.
Right.
What social networking software can do, in essence, is take questions people want answered, and it can aggregate, and people can vote on, and then you get an aggregate of what are the top five questions. Therefore, just that gives you a sense of the concerns people have on things, and then he can respond to it. And what you'll see when he announced growing the Army by 22,000 about 2 weeks ago, I put out a Twitter on that, and I, as opposed to just pushing, the old form would just been push out the information and say, oh, Secretary announced 22,000 people being added. But what I did was I asked a question after that. I said, what do you think? And so the responses I got from people were very interesting. Some people want to know what kind of people were we going to be adding. And so then we could respond to them, with an answer to that. People want to know, people still get re-signing bonuses. How long would these people be added? All those kind of that back and forth, it never happened in the past. It was just always just one way, we're going to add, and this is why, and then we'd move on. And I don't think we'll ever go back to that one-way communication.
Do you worry at all about potentially the enemy using the social interaction to try and draw out information or to perhaps pose as someone interested in information, but they want to get knowledge for ill intent? Do you worry about that at all?
We do worry about that. And operational security, what they call OPSEC in the building here, is very important. And so what we need to do is continually educate both the people who work in public affairs like myself, but also the men and women in the armed forces who are taking part in blogs and other things unofficially to make sure they know what's right and to do and what they shouldn't do.